I finally know how to use the recorder. anyway, this is the title of this lesson is Why Christians Stand with Israel. And I think everyone in this room knows why you would or would not. And there are some questions. Like I think as sons and daughters of the Most High, we do have a heart for the Palestinian Arab people. We do want to understand how do they get into that land and where are they going to go and how are they going to be able to live peacefully with their neighbors. And right now, it's just a scary situation in the Middle East, and we need to continue to pray for the peace of Israel, for the peace of Jerusalem, for the peace of the Middle East. And there are too many hands in the fire right now with Syria and Turkey and just, yeah. But anyway, we started 12 lessons ago with the definition anti-Semitism, and we're going to end with the definition of Zionism. This is a political movement that supports the existence of a Jewish state in Israel, the ancestral homeland of the Jewish people. The term comes from the Hebrew word Zion, which refers to Jerusalem. The World Zionist Organization, which was founded in 1897, the man's name is way too hard to pronounce, and we're not going to remember that anyway, but he declared that the aim of Zionism was to establish a national home for the Jewish people secured by public law. Zionism drew on Jewish religious attachments to Jerusalem and the land of Israel, which brings us to anti-Zionism, which is a lot of people confuse that with anti-Semitism because it's so very closely related. But it is the opposition of the existence of a Jewish state in the land of Israel. And nowadays, a Zionist is a term used for abuse, bigotry, and racism directed toward Jews, even by Jews themselves. For example, the Orthodox Jews do not believe in Zionism. They believe that wherever they're planted, they are to establish themselves as Jews wherever they're planted. Because really since AD 70, the Jewish people have been dispersed all over the known land. And so a small remnant remained in the Middle East. They have been dispersed. So a Zionist is a term we use, a hateful term, a racist term. When Jewish people immigrate to Israel from whatever land they're living in, whatever nation, it's called Aliyah. And in Jeremiah 29:14, I have the scripture there for you. You can go read what Jeremiah says about that. Basically, God has said, I'm going to bring you back from all the nations that you've been scattered. Currently, the safest European country for Jews to live in is Hungary. There are almost 1,800,000 people in Hungary that are Jewish, whether they're secular Jews or they're practicing Judaism. But they're sort of, that is the safest country right now for them to be living in. That doesn't mean that they're not safe in other places, but and we've talked about this in other lessons. We know that anti-Semitism is on the rise. And what brought about this Zionism, this movement back in the late 1800s, this movement back to Israel, was we had talked before about how Spain had a large population of Jewish people. They were very successful economically, with industry, with patents, and the Spanish had been defeated. Their
Armada.
Thank you.
Navy.
The Armada had been really pulverized in wars. And somebody came to the king and queen, Ferdinand and Isabella, and said, hey, let's get rid of the Jews. And it reminds you of the story of Esther, with that jealousy. And that seems to have followed the Jewish people through their existence. Wherever they were at, people would become very, very jealous because the Lord blesses them. Did you want to say something?
No, she didn't.
Okay. Anyway, what they did in Spain then is they made a decree that the Jews had, like, I think it was 3 months to get out. The Jewish people, the leaders of the Jewish people, they gathered so much money, presented it to the king and queen, begging to stay. They took the money, the king and queen did, and then said, get out. And, so all through the history of Israel, from the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Romans, we have learned of disbursement. And then in Russia, in the 19th and 20th century, from like 1821 to 1920, there were pogroms. This is a Russian word that means a violent attack, wreaking havoc, demolishing, expelling, beating, raping for certain groups of people. It's become Americanized and a world used as a program, almost like program to get rid of. We know that it happened in Germany, and I think, Tim, we had talked before about Kristallnacht, the Night of Broken Glass, where thousands of Jewish men were killed, women were raped, houses were burned, businesses were destroyed. This kind of thing brought about the Zionism movement, like, let's all go back to Israel and be our own state and be safe. Hasn't totally happened yet. So in my quest to answer this question, the book came in December the 26th. A big book.
Oh my goodness. It was right on time.
It was written in 1960. I just told the other people, because we were talking about that. It, actually, Pat Robertson from CBN, he...
1978,
didn't he? Hold on 1 second. It was first written in 1973, revised in 1978, revised in 1984, revived in 2011, revised in 2020. And Pat Robertson died not long after that. I just do not understand why it took that long for this little tiny booklet. Because I am a contributor, I'll get a DVD or a CD like in a week. And it's like, what? What was this all about? Mm-hmm. So anyway, in my quest to answer that question for myself and for everyone else, I came upon this... why does U.S. support Israel? Why do we as a nation? And there are many reasons, economic reasons, the whole nine yards, but here are the main reasons that we support our allies, our only allies in the Middle East. Israel's the only democracy in the Middle East. And they seem to be a much stronger and I hate to use the word tolerant, because especially with a lot of Christians, when they think tolerant, they think that we're loving someone who's doing something wrong into hell. And that's not what tolerant means outside of that mindset. But the tolerance that Israel and the United States exhibits, and what the Israeli government exhibits, which we're going to talk about here in a minute, is peacefulness. The state of Israel is not just Jews. It's made up of Arabs and Christians and Jews, people who are religious practices, practice their religion, people that are secular, and they live peacefully in that little teeny tiny piece of land. All right. Israel has been a partner with U.S. security and intelligence efforts for decades. They helped us on 9/11 figure out what was happening and who did it. Almost as many Jews live in the United States as live in Israel, so there are many personal and family connections. Faith is another compelling factor in supporting this nation. In Genesis, and I spelled it wrong, I didn't do my spell check. Genesis 12, 1 through 3 is a foundational text for both Judaism and Christianity. The U.S. Was the first country to recognize the new state of Israel in May of 1948, 11 minutes after it was created. Harry Truman was president at that time when the United States made a declaration that they were a nation and they deserved to exist. One of the things that we support them for is this Iron Dome defense system that we hear so much about. And this is why. It would not work in the United States, except in coastal areas, because it's not going to shoot down long-range missiles that would come into a very populous, very large country. Considering that there are places in Israel that are only 9 miles apart from the sea to the bordering countries, you can walk that in a day. But anyway, this is one reason why the Iron Dome's defense and the United States and Israel are working together. Israel created that defense in 2.5 years. That's almost unheard of in the United States with all the stuff that goes on. Yes. It was first deployed in 2011 on April 17th, and it continues to have a 90% success rate. Using science and technology, the U.S. and Israel are working on detecting terrorist tunnels better than they can right now by using satellites. And it was just fascinating science, but I wasn't going to try and figure it out to put it on paper and tell you. But let me just tell you this. Satellites, the knowledge of the ground and how the earth reacts will be able to help them detect tunnels and be able to shut them down faster. Because if you think about it, we're talking desert sand, so they're digging down. They have to reinforce it with, and this is in the south, with concrete and everything else. In the northern Arab countries, it's rock. And they only move like a couple inches at a time, and then they have to reinforce anything. So to detect these tunnels and destroy them will definitely keep Israel safer. And right now, the USA and Israel is working on something called the Iron Beam. And it's not going to take away from the Iron Dome, but the Iron Beam is going to use microwave and radar, laser, to shoot down drones and smaller missiles. And that they would put these iron beams all around the border where smaller missiles are coming from the Arab nations that are bombing them that day. And they're developing other programs and at least 4 cutting-edge defense technologies. This was information from one of our congressman, and he was in the military, and he said that he didn't want to put on paper any more of the information because it's in the works right now. So that is one reason why the United States, our government in particularly, supports Israel. It's for our military and for the technology that they bring. So why should Christians stand with Israel? We believe in one God, Yahweh, who was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's also the God of the Christian nation. And Abraham is the father of Islam. God established an everlasting covenant with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, no conditions attached. We've been talking about this for months. It's Genesis 12 and Genesis 17. Jewish and Christians accept the Old Testament. And we know that the Jewish people do not accept the New Testament, which is known as the Hebrew Bible. Christians believe that Jesus Christ is the Jewish Messiah. And at first, Christianity was seen as a Jewish sect or an offshoot of Judaism. In fact, all the early Christians were
Jews.
Jewish. And the gospel message spread from Jewish believers to the Gentiles. And I put down John. If you were ever going to want to talk to someone to explain a point of view of why Christians should support Israel, because there are a lot of Christians that don't. And why, and in Acts 1, 6 through 8, why we are grafted in with them. We're brothers and sisters in arms, you know, All right. God gave the title deed to the land of Israel to the Jews. He gave it to them. It's his land. He gave it to them. He spoke it in promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I've already said this. Jesus was Jewish, as were the disciples. He will return to reign from Israel. A Jewish man saved us 2,500 years ago. And 12 Jewish men took the Gospels to the ends of the ancient world. As Christians, we're called to stand with those that God has chosen and to honor the nation that brought forth the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Israel is mentioned 2,431 times in the Bible, 87 times in the New Testament. Holy Scripture speaks about the nation and the people of Israel in the past, present, and future. Israel has been used by God, is being used by God, and will be used by God in the end times. Many have claimed the land of Israel in history, but God gave the land to Israel forever. And that's probably the biggest reason for me. The next one, the Bible promises blessings to those who bless Israel and curses to those who oppose them, Genesis 12:3. This principle underscores the importance of standing with and supporting God's chosen people. To do otherwise is to oppose God and his plan. And even though we know that the United States of America is a mess at times, things aren't always perfect, look at the blessings. Because we have blessed Israel. Look at the blessings of this nation. We're hanging on by a thread, but we're still hanging on. And there's always hope for the future. But if you go back through history and look at Germany, how they opposed the Jews during World War II and the Holocaust, they're still fighting to stay afloat. They have turned from their wicked ways. But we have seen through history the nations that have opposed the Jewish people and what has happened to them. And it doesn't mean God hates them, but it's like, you curse my people, then you're bringing a curse upon yourself. It's just like, when we speak negative over ourselves, that's a way of putting a curse on ourselves. So if you oppose what God's plans are, who his people are, that he is going to fulfill those plans, then you're cursing yourself by doing that. All right. The history of persecution of the Jewish people, sadly, by those claiming to be Christians, should produce empathy and a desire for a different future. And we're just not talking about the Holocaust. We can go all the way back to the Crusades, and we can keep going back. So, the next one is, Israel is the only state to ever rule over the land. If we go all the way back to when God said, you know, I'm giving you this land, the Canaanites live there, get rid of them. They were not one nation. They were small little kingdoms, small little states. You know, you would have the warlord of Washington, PA, and the warlord of Claysville, and the warlord of Taylorstown, and that's what made up that section of land that we call the Promised Land. There has never been a country called Palestine in history, and the name itself was created to erase the memory of the Jewish connection to the land. And I think if you remember a few lessons back, we talked about that there was no such thing as a Palestine nation. To give land to the Arabs is to resist God's plans as revealed in Exodus 32:13. And I thought this was so interesting. There are 22 Arab nations possessing 13 million square kilometers of land. There is only one Jewish nation of Israel possessing just 22,072 square kilometers of land, including Judea, Samaria, and the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip was given up as a peace pipe, and there has never been peace for Israel because of it, even though they have done that. And that doesn't mean that we as Christians or we as human beings can't have sympathy for what the Palestinian civilians are going through. That has to be a horrible situation for them. And then the fact that humanitarian aid is sent in, and then Hamas, who they voted in and they were subject to and they never fought to get them out of their territory, their area, are stealing their aid, and kids are dying from starvation, and people that have been hurt or wounded can't get medical attention, and there's no place to live, and because everything has just been bombed almost to oblivion.
Concrete dust.
Yeah. But you know, such a small little piece of land that God has given to these people, and the Arab nations around them are like, nope, you're not coming here. Archaeology proves that the Jewish nation existed and are not what so many people are calling the Jews right now, colonizers. They're not colonizers, because discoveries found in Egypt, Syria, and Iraq can prove that there was a Jewish nation. Now, when you look at that, you might think, well, they were in Egypt, not in Israel, in Syria and Iraq. What they're finding are writings that are saying things about the Jewish nation, about Jewish kings, about battles fought or lost with the Jewish nation. You're not finding any of that that says Palestine. Israel gives Arabs full Israeli citizenship if they want it, with equal rights to their Jewish counterparts. But Arabs expelled 99% of their Jewish citizens from the 1940s to the 1970s. You could not live in a lot of these Arab nations. 2 million Israelis are Arabs out of a country of almost 10 million. When you think about that, it's amazing. Israel has proven that they can live peacefully with their Christian and Arab citizens and immigrants. And I think we talked one other time also that Jerusalem and Barry and Robin, if you can add to this, like Jerusalem isn't all a Jewish capital. There are sections. Just like in New York City, you've got Chinatown, Little Italy. The same thing is in Jerusalem. And they have an Arab section and a Christian section. And did you guys get to witness that? Did you see that?
We saw some of that. But what stood out to me was in Bethlehem, Jewish people aren't even allowed in there.
Yeah.
That's the birthplace of Christ.
Yeah.
We had a Jewish tour guide. He had to get off the bus. And they brought a Christian tour guide on to let us into the Bethlehem.
And how do they build it, like a big wall that separates it where the... I don't know if it's in what part of Samaria it's in, but this is controlled by the Arabs and this is controlled by the Jews, and it's like almost like a no-go zone.
Yeah, there's a no-go zone.
Yeah, sure.
It was a shorter.
There was one. Alleys, like
yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's yeah. anyway,
it was weird when we went up to the top of the hill to look over Samaria. As we passed, there was these armored trucks and stuff that were under camouflage in the trees and stuff. It's like, oh my gosh, guys.
Yeah, wow.
But when we first went, they had been bombing Tel Aviv, so
oh.
Just a few days before we went in.
Yeah. So. Oh, that is right. I remember that now. And yeah. So. Which is a constant for them.
Yeah.
How about living under those conditions? You know, we think it's so scary when a siren goes off because of weather. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a siren goes off over there because of bombs. So. Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to add? Want to bring attention to?
I have a horrible memory. So.
We found...
it was just a great place.
It was like, what? There was two places they hold sacred as Christ's burial place.
Yeah.
Because they don't know for sure.
Yeah.
One has a big cathedral built over top of it, and you get downstairs and it's in there.
Is that the Holy Sepulchre? The Church of the Holy Sepulchre?
Could be.
That's what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
And then features of it.
And then same way with his burial. They had two different tradition beliefs. And we saw the skull. The rock makes it looks like a skull.
Yeah.
You can see it.
Yeah.
The eyes and everything. And that's right by that Garden of Gethsemane.
Wow.
But we got to go in this tomb, they think it's it. And of course, the Last Supper is another one. They don't know which
one. They're not sure where it was.
So they pick one place and make that safe.
Right.
It was like, we thought we were going to a special.
Well, 2,500 years ago.
Well, when they had their Last Supper, they didn't put a sign up saying this is what we had.
Keep this for antiquity.
They were drinking wine, too.
Yeah.
Where was that place we were just
Well, anyway. And another reason that we should stand with Israel is the concern that the anti-Semitism that is quickly spreading worldwide is another reason that Christians need to support Israel. You think about 10 million Jews and the world seems against them. Mm-hmm. And that's probably all that they hear on the news. Or, you know, they think that the whole United States are having protests and rallies. You know, anti-Semitism this, anti-Semitism that, and they need to know that they are supported. And the last thing that I wanted to talk today before we get into Pat Robertson is, what has Israel done for the world? That was another question I was asking myself. I know that there has been a lot. I put a few things down. If you want to look with me. Such a tiny country, but a major force in technology and research and development. When I made this lesson up, it was because of Israel. They developed the Microsoft Windows program. And when we go through this, a lot of these companies are not owned by Israelis anymore. They have sold them. A lot of them have come to America. Warren Beatty, we all know who Warren Beatty is. He will only invest in the U.S. and in Israel. And his comment about the U.S. was that he looks at Israel in its infancy, being such a young country, as the U.S. was when we were being a small nation.
You said Warren Beatty?
Warren Buffett.
Okay.
Warren.
I'm thinking Warren. Change my opinion.
Yeah. I don't even know if Warren Beatty's still alive, is he?
I don't know.
No. Warren Buffett. The big investor. Anyway, the companies that he invests in and his ties with Israel, he has said that they remind him of what we must have looked like as an infant nation. With intelligence, with determination, innovation, all that kind of stuff. He said we looked to Israel as we did when America was coming up through the ranks because so much was going on here in America, even from, you know, the very beginning of our country, what we were creating and inventing and all those things. Sorry about that. Israel also were the inventors of Intel chips, instant messaging, the cell phone, medical devices like the capsule endoscopy, which is the pill cam. You swallow it, goes all the way through. In fact, they're working on a new pill cam that will help surgeons all over the world not have to cut you open to try and do exploratory surgery to find out what's going on. Better than an MRI. Mm-hmm. Better than a CAT scan. Soon to be available, and Tim, this doesn't have anything to do with you because you're our youngin', soon to be available is a better prep technique for the important colonoscopy.
I'm impressed now.
Yeah. They have created robotic parking garages to help with the in big cities, metropolitan areas, to help with parking. Be more efficient. They have manufactured quartz, high-end quartz countertops, and how to like bring that manufacturing of the quartz into very sustainable countertops. Because my house is this little, so that's all that I can afford. And they also came up with the Teflon high-performance fabric. And if you have anything that repels water, whisks away moisture, that was an Israeli creation. The USB flash drive. And they are ranked number 2 currently in the world for research and development. Israel is an example of teamwork. In America, a lot of times it's like one person gets all the glory. Not in Israel, and that's why their armory works so well. And when you think about it, 18-year-old, 19-year-old boys and girls, they become such a team that they move as a unit. And they have found that they have better survival rates, that less deaths, because it's a team effort, not an individual effort. Where, like in America, we are very individual. Yeah, we are very individual that way. But when they are working on research and development, it's a team. They take criticism well. It is not looked down upon to fail in Israel. Where that's not what we see in the United States. And so that allows them to develop very quickly because it's like, well, that didn't work. And instead of throwing your hands up in disgust and I quit, I'm not working anymore, they dig in deeper and they dig in as a team. And the team mentality is we all win, not the CEO wins. Okay. Also, they are ranked 4th worldwide in post-secondary education. And they also you guys might know this more, the Bloomberg ranking. It's sort of, it like ranks countries according to economy, technology, industry, medical advances, things like that. Israel's ranked number 5th. The United States is ranked number 6. What else have they done? They have created military upgrades that our U.S. Air Force fighters have now incorporated. We hear on the news constantly, Israel had strikes, precision strikes. For example, they took out a lot of the Syrian Navy, not to hurt Syria, but to keep the terrorists from being able to get the weapons and materials. Precise bombings of buildings. This Hamas-Israel war has shown the world that, we're not hearing it in the media, Israel takes more time and precision to keep civilian death rates down than any other nation in the world and in any other war where they're trying to protect the civilians. And they do it in such a elementary way by flyers, cell phone messages, emails. They're trying to tell, you know, they tell the civilian population, this is what's happening, this is the day it's happening, get out of there. And then, unfortunately, we talked about this, I think it was in Lesson 10 or 11, that It has been found that, and it's an outside group that has found that Hamas and Hezbollah are not reporting deaths correctly. They're, you know, they're
inflating women and children numbers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. Let's go on with this. Oh, and right now there is a new light multi-purpose military vehicle that will replace the famous U.S. military Humvee shortly. It's better in the desert. It's better in those kind of conditions in the Middle East. It's more effective, and it's not as costly to run it. And that's being developed by Israel. 13 Nobel Peace Prize winners have 13 Nobel Prize winners have come out of Israel since 1948, and that includes 3 Nobel Peace Prize winners. And overall, and Rob has spoken this from the pulpit, Israeli people have won more Nobel Prizes than any other ethnic or nation in the world. They, like, in all categories, literature even, medicine, chemistry, so many Jewish people win those awards. And you just have to, when you look at the list, and I wasn't going to put that all in there, but when you look at the list, it's like, he has so blessed this Jewish nation. How many of you use the GPS app Waze? Yep. Israel developed that. And it's used in almost every nation in the world. They have, and this is for ladies, they developed it at the lady. We won't tell the guys what that is. It's nothing bad. It's hair removal. They also developed Baby Sense. And, you know, other countries have changed the some of the things. And in America, we're using it. And that's that little thing you put on the baby's ankle when you put them down to sleep. And it records respiration and heart rate so that we're avoiding SIDS deaths. Hmm. And in Israel, you hardly have any SIDS deaths. Sudden infant death syndrome, that's what that is. And then they also created the Viber, which is a Wi-Fi telecommunication that's free, so you can talk to, when you're in Israel, you can talk to people in Washington. They developed the cherry tomato.
They can keep that one.
Yeah, they can.
Cherry tomatoes.
And you know why they did that? Because the little smaller tomatoes could be produced in a container and not take up land for the great big beef tomatoes that we love here in the U.S. They also were the inventors of the modern drip irrigation. They have saved so many nations in Africa by teaching them that. And they also produced the condenser water system, where they take humidity in the air and they turn it into drinkable water. And they're working on taking salt water and converting it into drinkable water. That's one of the projects that they're working on right now. They are the developers of solar energy and the solar panel. And they produce 80% more milk than any nation in the world, including Germany and Switzerland, where we think, you know, about milk products. And they do it by technology. They put air conditioners in the barns. They play music to soothe the animal. They use pedometers to see if the cows are becoming restless and moving around too much, or do they need to move more? And they're producing milk of high quality and great quantity. I thought that was just so wild. And then they have developed so many countries like Japan, Korea, China, the Philippines. They all have their form of martial arts. We always think of it as an Asian thing, but the Israeli military developed a martial art called Krav Maga, and it is practiced in schools, in Israel. It's practiced in the military. It's about posture, keeping organs. Like, I'm finding this as I'm getting older. I'm, like, doing this instead of my core holding me up. And it's about posture. It's about getting enough respiration from the head to the toes. And it's also about hand-to-hand combat, obviously, but it is a type of Israeli martial arts.
It's funny that you say that we think of martial arts as an Asian thing.
Uh-huh.
Israel is in Asia.
Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. I think most of the time what we're thinking is our Asian brothers and sisters who have a difference in appearance. I have just a few seconds. I want to tell you what this wonderful book that I was waiting so desperately, and I think the Lord was like, no,
you don't need that.
One day in the late 19th century, Queen Victoria of England asked her Prime Minister Benjamin Disraeli this question: "Mr. Prime Minister, what evidence can you give me of the existence of God?" Disraeli thought for a moment and then replied, "The Jews, Your Majesty." Think of it. According to Disraeli, the primary evidence that God exists is the existence of the Jewish people. This is the people who in 586 BC were deported to Babylon, yet returned 70 years later to build a nation. They were again brutally massacred and dispersed by the Romans in AD 70. Yet after countless centuries of expulsions, pogroms, ghettos, and attempts at genocidal extermination, they have clung to their faith, their customs, and now after some 2,500 years, they've returned to the land promised to God by their ancestors. I just thought that was the most beautiful answer of why does Israel even have a right to exist. They have never... It looks like on paper they have never been defeated and exterminated as a nation. We don't know about Assyrians, but we do know because they are from Mesopotamia, Iraq, Iran, Babylonians, Romans. People think that Romans are from Italy, but that's really, when you do DNA, very little DNA shows up as in Italian people as Roman. They're just not there anymore. But not the same with the Jewish people and Israelis. And that's, if you would like to look at this book, you just ask me, because it was really good. It gives a little bit of the history of their unbelievable desire to remain alive and become a nation and worship Yahweh. And it's through history we see the evidence, just not in history and archaeology, but also biblically. And that wraps up this lesson. I hope that you glean some things. Almost every Saturday night when I go over this, I'm like, they know all this. So, you know, I worried about that. But then again, I also know that I've talked to Christians who are like, look what they're doing to the Palestinian people, and they've been there longer than the Jews. And that's not saying that they're wrong, that they did not have an understanding. And I didn't either, so I wanted to have an understanding. And my take now is that God gave Israel this land. He promised it. His promises are forever. He doesn't change his mind. There are times that Israel had to face judgment, and he allowed that because of their actions. They turned completely away from him. They were into idol worship. He gave them warning after warning after warning. He had unbelievable patience with them. He has had unbelievable patience with us. And if you would still kindly in your prayer time pray for the peace of Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of the Middle East, and pray for revival in those countries and in the United States. Because that is, in my opinion, that is the only way that this country, and I think we've been given a reprieve, that's the only way that the United States of America is going to become that Christian nation that we were designed to be. We were created through our founding fathers, who were not always good Christian boys, but there was a purpose for Israel, there was a purpose for the United States of America. We need to always be a city on a hill, a light in the darkness, just like Israel is also to be. And would someone like to end us with prayer? I'm tired of hearing myself talk. Gary?
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, God, we bless you. We thank you, Lord, for the information we receive these 12 weeks, Lord, that we can get to know you better, have an insight into your thought process and the blessings that you bestowed on us through the Jewish people. Lord, you have been so good to us, and sometimes we don't even see it. We thank you, Lord, for this information. We thank you for all the hours of work that Sharon's put in to preparing these lessons and the insight you've given her and the information you've sent her way in your special way of doing things. Lord, we ask that you go with us as we leave this room. Help us to retain as much knowledge as we can. Help us to open our eyes to what's going on in the world today and what we can do to further your kingdom and further the blessings that you have for other people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.